A lot of laws went into effect at the start of the month, July 1st, and one of those included reforms to Connecticut's car towing system. We wanted to understand it a little bit better, so joining us now, DMV Commissioner Tony Guerrera is here. And Commissioner, welcome back to the show. So glad to have you here. First of all, I know during the session, I remember you were somebody who was a supporter of having these reforms looked at and approved. Tell us a little bit about why you were backing this, and what exactly does it mean for Connecticut?
Sure, and good morning, Melissa. Nice to be on your show. Well, first of all, there's been some issues going on with the towing industry and private non-consensual tows and how they are done. And I think the legislature really, truly believed that they wanted to have a public hearing to hear both sides of the issue and how they can strengthen the laws to better protect individuals out there and to be fair on all sides of the aisles here. And what that was that I personally went there to testify in regards to the bill, and I'm in support of the legislation that was passed because it clearly delineates what can be done and when what can't be done. And it's fair across the board for everyone here.
So I want to get into it a little bit more, Commissioner, because if you go to the CGA website where they, you know, they have on there sort of an update, an act reforming the motor vehicle towing status, statutes rather, it says it provides protections for motor vehicle owners whose vehicles are towed and establish a consumer bill of rights regarding towing. But there's not an awful lot of detail, and even if there were, it's not very easy to understand for the average person. So let's get into it a little bit more. First of all, you were saying there have been issues with this, you know, certainly that have been going on. What have been the issues?
Well, some of the issues might be, let's put it this way. You live in an apartment complex, right, Melissa?
Sure.
And you bought a car from a friend, and they had it brought over, and you have an assigned spot there. But the car is not registered, right? Because you haven't had time to get the car registered yet.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, these apartment complex may have assigned towing companies that come around the building that may see a car that's not registered, that wasn't on their lease agreement with you. Next thing you know, they tie up the car and they take it away. All right.
Okay.
So now some of these, and those are called non-consensual tows. All right. There are consensual tows and non-consensual tows. Non-consensual tows is basically when a tow company gets called by an apartment complex or the police to take something off the road or off the parking lot because it shouldn't be there. A consensual tow, Melissa, might be that you're broken down on the side of the road and you call AAA or a friend of yours that's in the business to come get that vehicle and take it to a body shop or a mechanic, whatever you prefer. So some of the issues that were brought up were things that were done with the non-consensual tow. And what the law provides is clear documentation that, say, an apartment complex has to put up more signage that says, do I mean that only Melissa has two spots here that can use for her 1999 Honda and a 2010 Honda. And,
okay.
You know what I mean? And it clearly distinguished that when you rent an apartment or a condominium complex. It also says that a tower just can't go in there and tow a vehicle if it's not registered. They have to give you notice within 14 days. So you have 14 days. If you don't have it registered by then the apartment complex may deem that as that you're just storing that as junk or whatever it is, and therefore they may want to clear it off that lot.
Okay, so this is part of the Bill of Rights, if you will.
Yeah, and we have to get that Bill of Rights together as part of the Department of Motor Vehicles, working with a group of individuals, all right, and put it on our website and clearly delineate what it does and what it doesn't do. And therefore, it's on our website so people can look at it.
And again, we've got the DMV commissioner with us. Tony Guerrera is here, and we're talking about one of the many laws that took effect in our state July 1st, including reforms to Connecticut's car towing system. I'm curious, Commissioner, what do the tow truck drivers like? What do the workers feel about this? Are they in support of it? Is there any controversy surrounding that?
Well, there was some controversy, I believe, during the bill when it was during session there, saying that, you know, here we are. What happens if Tony Guerrera parks in Melissa's spot because there's a restaurant across, right, where you live, next thing you know, I'm parking in your spot. You come home from work, and you can't get into your parking spot.
Mm.
And so that these are some of the dilemmas that you have to think about when you put these laws together. And that's why they said they got together with the Homeowners Association, apartment owner complexes, multifamily owners, that let's have some clear signage that states who can park there, who can't park there. Let's make sure that, we have parking permits displayed, so therefore there's no ambiguity of whether we're towing a vehicle or not towing a vehicle, and also that you just can't, someone just can't come on the property, like you said, because you bought a vehicle, but you haven't had time because of your work schedule to get that car registered. The next thing you know, there's some tow companies towing your vehicle, and because you didn't have it registered yet, but you only had it for 48 hours. So that's why they wanted to put some parameters in there to make it consumer friendly before the tow companies come out there and move those vehicles.
Okay. And again, you were saying, Commissioner, that the Bill of Rights, if you will, that's still kind of being worked out, but the actual law did take effect, which means that basically what was in place before July 1st, that won't stand, but the actual Bill of Rights is still kind of being crafted?
Yeah, we're still being crafted, right? We have some time to put that all together. But some of the laws that did go in effect right away was like the 14-day notice. Like I said, for an expired registration, they can't tow within, for 14 days. 72-hour notice for a vehicle solely that for an expired residential parking permit, maybe it was expired, so you have to give them a notice up to 72 hours. And also that the towing company has to take photos and document when the vehicle is being towed.
Oh, interesting.
So that way they have it on the record.
Okay. All right. I mean, yeah, and I think that's so important for people to know that shift did go into effect as of July 1st. DMV Commissioner Guerrera is here, and we are talking about everything relating back to the DMV. This one, unfortunately, has nothing to do with the DMV, but boy, do those scams claim they do. These fake text messages all saying they're coming from your department, Commissioner, but that doesn't seem to be the case, does it? I've definitely gotten this message many, many times. I know it's not from you, but tell us a little bit about it seems like this has been going on for the last month or so, not just in Connecticut, but across the country. What are you seeing?
Absolutely, Melissa. You hit the nail right on the head. We've been getting them. I've been getting them. My family members have been getting them. I'm getting calls. This has been going on probably over the last, 30 to 45 days. Many, many individuals have been getting this text alert scam that says you owe money, that you owe a tow bill or whatever it is. The DMV does not send any text messages to anyone in regards to collecting money. The only text message you will ever get from the DMV would be something to do with our appointment system, which says whether you're coming here and that you have an appointment. If you'd like to cancel, please hit A or C, whatever it may be. But when it comes to giving out monies, Melissa, absolutely not. I would highly encourage all your listeners to make sure they delete any scam like that as soon as possible.
And not to make light of it at all, Commissioner, but that's got to be the strangest sort of like Twilight Zone moment when you get one of the text messages. You're like, what's happening here? Right? That has to be so strange. Or when your family is like, Dad, what is this? You know what I mean? Like, that's
exactly.
Got to be weird.
Listen, it is funny. They're calling me. It goes, Dad, I don't remember going through a toll booth, but you're sending me a text message. I'd go, no. It's just, I said, you ever read them? It says the ministry or whatever it is. And it's like, no, delete it. It's a scam. Get rid of it.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's funny. I mean, I get things like that as well. Just as a reporter, I'll get it from my husband or somebody in my family. And they're like, I can't believe I owe on the tolls. I'm like, guys, we've lived in Connecticut our entire lives. There's never been tolls on these. Well, there has, but not in the time that we've lived here. I'm like, there are no tolls on these roads. Like, come on, just delete it. So I always think, like, man, you're the commissioner of the Department of Motor Vehicles, and you're getting the text that apparently you owe. So that's got to tell you something there, but that's got to be very funny, kind of.
Yeah. I agree.
The other thing, too, I think the DMV has been hopping, I would imagine. Well, you guys are always busy, obviously, but certainly since the beginning of May, when the real ID became the norm now, especially to hop on a plane, even domestic flights, what have you been seeing? I'd imagine an influx of people asking for that.
No, and thank you for that question, Melissa. You hit the nail right on the head. You know, since 2011, we've been getting prepared for the Real ID. We started enacting the Real ID back in 2011 because of 9/11, what occurred, and Congress passed legislation that Real ID had to come into play. But they kept postponing it. But the day came, and that was May 7th of 2025. And what that meant is that, to your point, that anybody that would like to travel domestically, if you don't have that star in the upper right-hand corner, you won't be able to jump on a plane or go through a federal building. Now, I want to be clear here, Melissa, is that although they're saying that you can't get on a plane without that star, you could use other documentation, such as a passport. If you have a valid passport, you can use that. All right. But what individuals were hearing was that if I don't have that star, oh, my God, my license isn't good anymore. What's going to happen? That is not the case. Your license is still valid for driving. All it says, Melissa, is that if you're going to start traveling throughout the United States domestically, what we're saying is that, you know, come in and get the Real ID done if you don't have a passport. Mm. All right. But if you don't have a trip plan, say, until December, you don't have to rush over here. Do you know what I mean? And that's what happened. I think everybody started thinking that they had to get this done by May 7th,
yeah.
And they started clogging up our appointment system. So what we ended up doing, knowing that that might have happened, we started opening on Mondays. We had extended hours. And now we're starting to see it dive down a little bit in that we're seeing that the appointment system, there's more appointments out there for people to make. And that finally we're starting to see the curve going the other way again, and that people are starting to realize that they did come in, they got the Real ID, or they're not such in a rush because they don't have plans until the future, like in December or January, and they got plenty of time to come in and get the Real ID.
You do touch on something very important, though, Commissioner, that I want to just reiterate. You keep saying come in. And when we talk about scams, there are definitely sites popping up saying, hey, if you want to just, you know, get your Real ID online, you could do it here. That's not the case, though, right? You can only go to a DMV location in order to get the Real ID.
Absolutely, Melissa. I couldn't agree. You're spot on. Is that this is a federal requirement. And I want to be clear. It's a federal requirement. So we are obligated, when you come in, Melissa, we need to see a birth certificate. We need to see two forms of identification where you live, you know, whether it was a water bill, electric bill, gas bill, that states Melissa lives in a certain town within the last 30 to 60 days. A Social Security number. We have to validate that says that you are who you are. And you can't do that any other way but by coming into the Department of Motor Vehicle with those credentials.
Well, Commissioner Guerra, it has been such a pleasure to have you on to talk about everything happening with the DMV, especially in recent weeks. Thank you so much for your time, and I hope to have you on again really soon.